thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5-251-343-0106. You want to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning? So to come on the program in about an hour, Phil Lewis at Alabama Policy Institute and Right Side Radio will be with us. 11 o'clock hour, call him to Steve Flowers. And then at the bottom of 11 o'clock hour, Sean Ross, SR Communications in the Brit for Alabama campaign. So please stay tuned for the rest of that if you can. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on, he represents us here in Andy, First District of Alabama, Congressman Jerry Carl on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Happy New Year's, man.
Happy New Year's. How was your Christmas?
Great. I saw pictures of yours on the internet. I think you had a pretty good Christmas yourself.
Well, the little one had a good Christmas.
That's what...
He is still having a good Christmas. By the way, you know, your first Christmas, a lot of people want to be a part of it. So it was one of those experiences, right? That you don't really think about it till you actually go through it, right?
Yeah, and once you get your kids raised and you look back on those pictures, you'll say, "Gosh, those were the hardest and the best times of my life." So. It's one of those things of life you wish you could go back and be a better parent. I think that's why we make better grandparents. We're not worried about little things. We're just worried about the big picture, which is, you know, helping the kids with great memories. I've actually got my grandson. I came up here a couple of days with him. I'm a bit outside of Sylacauga at a place called Purcell Farms. And all we've been – yesterday we managed to fish three different ponds. We went to the driving range, and we took the four-wheeler and went up on the mountain and had lunch. So we're making our own dreams.
Hey, I hear you, man. I tell you, my in-laws came into town. They never spend much time in this part of the state. Well, they never spent much time in the state. A few of them had never really spent much time in Alabama. And it was getting to show them around. And we had the best behaved child, I would say. It is remarkable because I don't think many people could say this with an 11-month-old, but we took him out to a number of the fine eating establishments on the Eastern Shore there and just behaved the whole time. It was incredible. So, the Christmas down here was kind of a cool experience. But enough about me and all of that. Let's get into the business here of government, which is unfortunate at times. But the other day, Biden finally got around to signing the NDAA. I don't know what the holdup was, but certainly a lot in there. Mike Rogers is the ranking Republican on armed services. Alabama was taken care of.
I'll tell you, I followed Mike's leadership. Obviously, we all did. Mike, yeah, he took care of Alabama. We managed to get, you know, we got two ships at Austell. Actually, we got four ships. We got two aluminum hulls and two steel hulls, which the important part of that is that will take Austell over into the steel hull side of the industry, which will put them in line to start bidding stuff like Navy frigates and some things that the Navy buys a lot of. So that's something we can build a lot of. The Stryker, which is made up in Anniston, they've got their contract restored. Just tons of stuff for Huntsville, Fort Rucker. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So that NDAA was a wonderful, wonderful project that Mike and he coached us all, and we walked through it. There were some very negative things going into it. You know, the red flag law, the young girls being drafted or having registered for draft. We sat down. We were all worried about that. We sat down. We were sure that would be pulled out before the second vote. It had to be voted on the second time, and it did. Worked out just the way that we had agreed to with the Democrats that we would do, and they held strong for their words. And you know, the Armed Services Committee is one of the few committees that still the Democrats and Republicans work well together because we understand. The defense of the people on those committees understand how important the defense of this country is to all of us. So, but I'm very proud of that. We got our military. We got them a pay raise, 2.5-3%. I don't remember exactly what the number was, but it's somewhere in that range. And we got some new equipment. We've got more money allotted for for some equipment. I like to tell folks we have to replace that equipment we lost over in Afghanistan, which is true. I mean, you lose $80 billion worth of equipment, you've got to get it replaced. So anyway, so that NDAA bill that was finally signed by Biden, which only took him about 3 weeks, is, I guess if it had been something real controversial, he would have signed it same day. But this was just too good for the nation.
Well, talk about Austal a little bit and the transition there, the type of holes or the type of ships they're able to build there. That puts it on a course, at least to me, that seems it's more of a long term approach than with this what they were building out there with the LCS.
Yeah, the LCS, the Navy has a hard time understanding the aluminum hull. It's been very successful. We've got them. I don't know exactly where they're stationed now, but they're probably somewhere, obviously in the Persian Gulf, and they're quick response vehicles. The Navy really doesn't understand how to utilize them because the Navy's always been used to big, heavy steel stuff that moves slow. Well, what they build there at Austal, that is a very fast, very quick response. There is a place in the Navy, and the Navy does not want to do away with them. Our biggest concern with Austal is keeping a number of ships in the hopper because, you know, my focus is obviously the employment there. You know, one time they got close to right at 4,000 employees. I think now they're closer to around 2,200, 2,500. But by getting these two still hulls in, we're able to start those employees to transfer over into the still hull side of it, which again is important because we can start building frigates, which the Navy buys lots and lots of frigates.
Yeah, there's probably a lot that's going to be going on with defense, I would think. Not to be too foreboding here about what lies ahead, but I just think the South China Sea. We're going to have to transition the Navy from something that may be like a terrorism fighting sort of operation to something that's going to have a presence against China and who looks to be trying to fulfill Mao's 100-year plan here in 2020. Well, excuse me, 2022.
Well, you know, when you talk about the water, you're talking about a threat from so many different sources. You know, you've got so many of those small countries that are around the Persian Gulf and the Straits that we have to be concerned with. The Chinese have really built their Navy up. Trump had a targeted number of ships that he was trying to build our force back up to. I want to say it was around 360, 365, somewhere right in there. The Obama administration had really cut back on any ship production, so our numbers had fallen behind. So, again, Trump had that put in place. We had numbers that we were trying to achieve. Of course, when Biden took over, all that changed. He actually tried to downsize the budget as it came in that we had to work with. And that's when Mike Rogers and the group got together, Democrats too. I want to give them credit where credit's due. We all got together and said, this is not going to work. And we figured out how to get 50 more billion and put it on top, and we started taking care of replacing some of these ships and some land equipment too. So, and you know, the pay raise was a huge issue with inflation we've got going on. It hits all these military families who are already struggling. So to lose 3 or 4% of the value of their money, their buying power, I mean, that's huge in their eyes. And that's part of the defense of this country that we need to start focusing on and thinking about. Healthy families, you know, healthy warriors. I mean, that's what we need. That's what this country needs. My son was in there, and that was his biggest struggle was, you know, especially starting a new family, just making ends meet. So, you know, we've got some real questions to start asking ourselves when it comes to defending this country and obviously financial. And this NDAA is a bill that just signed. It is a wonderful place to start. I can't say enough positive about it. I mean, it's just, it's over the top, especially for District 1. I'm very proud of our work.
Well, isn't that something that's remarkable? Because typically Democrat administrations, it's the opposite direction. particularly with any anticipation of pay raises or anything like that for the military, that you see Democrat administrations, particularly when you have a Democrat Congress, going the other direction with military. And maybe it's the thinner margins in Congress where Democrats are in charge but not as in charge. And who knows what's going on with the Biden administration. But this is more of an exception rather than the rule.
And it's because of committee members. I mean, the Senate stood firm. Tommy Tuberville did a great job protecting us down there in District 3. Down here in District 1. He stood in there for also. He actually got the two ships put in up there. Of course, when it comes to us, most people don't understand this, but it's a very fluid system. I mean, when it came back to us, it changed to one. There wasn't enough money to finance two, so on and so forth. So that's when the tennis match started. So we were, when we got it, the leadership on the Democrat Party, they have to follow what Biden gives them. We understand that. We get that. So they basically just stood out of the way, and we worked with the minorities, the majority in other than the leader himself, and we worked with them and put this together. And they didn't stand in our way. They didn't fight it. They knew what we were doing. They got it. They did their job. And, of course, when it went to the Senate, they were quick to sign off on it. They liked it. And, of course, once the president got it, I mean, he's got so much negative going for his administration now. To shoot that down and make an issue out of it would have just been that would have been icing on the cake for him. So we knew it would pass through, but he took his time signing it. But we got several things out of it we wanted out of it, too, which people need to hear that. I mean, it's important. We knew that had to go in, that you still got to get the woke folks. They got to have their voice. It goes into the first draft. You vote on the first draft, and it gets passed through the line when it comes back to you. That's when we get to strip this stuff out. So we took a little bit of heat up front, knowing what we would get on the back end. It worked out well for us.
Yeah, and I guess the president's got so many other balls he's juggling right now. I mean, obviously his COVID response leaves much to be desired. And the inflation in the economy, you look at the border, you look at the Afghanistan debacle. Why would you pick a fight over the NDAA, perhaps?
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, the COVID fight right now, I mean, he's got himself boxed in the corner again on this. So I don't, he needs to just get out of the way and let the market take care of itself. We are certainly smart enough to figure out how to take care of ourselves. We're just becoming more and more. And I was talking to a friend of mine up here that owns this place last night. And that's what scares me about this COVID is we're becoming more and more reliable on the government to tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, to pay for it. And it's just like all these free tests everybody's fussing about. You can go buy a test. If somebody wants to buy them, they want them free. So, and I understand some people can't afford it. That's great. I can afford it. I went and bought them. I bought four of them for my wife. So, I didn't stand around with my hands stuck out waiting for free stuff. So, but I think that's one thing that we're the direction we're going that really scares me in this country. That independence of the free market and small businessman. I mean, I'm reading an article last night on the cattle industry. I know we're getting chasing rabbits here, but on the cattle industry, 85% of that has become corporate oriented. I mean, our chicken business is becoming corporate oriented. Our hog business is owned by the Chinese. And that stuff scares me. When you start fooling with the food chain and start getting that so organized that the mom and pop can't raise cattle and sell it, I mean, that's way too much regulation, way too much regulation. So I think these are some of the things, especially on natural resources, that we can help address when we take control, 2023. I think these are some of the things we can start pulling some of those regulations back and helping the local farmers. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
It's like we're living the setup of an Ayn Rand novel. The government is playing such a big role, and people's attitudes have really, really changed about what government and what should be done in their lives, that at some point, maybe the 2022 election is going to be that we're looking at some kind of reset, or if it's just something so ingrained in the culture, how do we get beyond this mentality?
Yeah, you know, we've got to get back that fire in our spirit. And we can blame it on the youth. We can blame it on a lot of things. But reality is, it's people my age and people like me that are responsible for what we're living in today. And we got to be willing to step up and put ourselves in uncomfortable positions and put ourselves in positions people are going to talk about you and say ill things about you. But, you know, we've got a country here that we're trying to save and pull from the edge of almost communism. I mean, that's where we're headed here. So, we've got to, as a country, we've got to push back and we've got to tell Big Brother, get out of the way. Well, what are they going to do, cut our money off? Okay, it's our money anyway. How about if we cut it off on this end so you don't get it there? I'm not opposed to that. But we've got to do some drastic things and be willing to be labeled as radicals for doing it, if that makes sense. Just because we push back and say no on the government, that's our responsibility as Americans. That is our responsibility to tell people like me, I don't want that. As my elected official, I don't want you going up there doing that. I want it this way. And it's my job to weigh that out and then go up there and do it one way or the other. But we've become so reliant on the government, it's really scary. I mean, I've always been an independent businessman, and you know, now you see these startup companies and you know, they can't start up unless they have these think tanks that they go through. And trial and error is the best teacher in the world. And, you know, you stump your toe, you know not to kick that corner of that bed again. And some of that stuff that you do, that's what you learn from. But if you've got the government spoon-feeding you, if they can give you everything, at some point, place, and time, they can take everything. And don't think for a second they won't do it in America, because people are people. So we have to keep our government in check.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. We're up against the break, but you're always very kind to come on, and let's talk again soon.
Thank you. All right, take care. Happy New Year, Jeff. Happy New Year to everyone listening.
Happy New Year to you, Congressman. Congressman Jerry Carl there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Beside our cotton fields, didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to...